I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 11. John chapter 11. The Word of God here describes the raising of Lazarus from the dead. One of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, as Mary and Martha are weeping and mourning over the death of their brother. And then Jesus arrives, and of course they began to question him and say, in essence, Lord, you must have made a mistake. If you had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus begins to talk about the resurrection and other things. But I want us to come down to verse 38. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 38, going through verse 44. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 38. The Word of God says, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said, or saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Correctly read, that's John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Before we begin to study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto our Heavenly Father, to be able to call on the God of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence, and the one who shall bring it to a close, the one who rules and reigns right now. Lord, we're thankful for the peace and the assurance that we have amidst all the chaos and confusion that's going on in America today. We're thankful to know that God still reigns on His throne. We're thankful, Lord, that we're your children, that you love us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. But we're thankful that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to feel your presence every day. Bless us tonight as we come together. We thank you for the singing of songs. We pray that thou would help us now as we continue to try to worship thee in the study of thy holy word, that thy spirit would be our teacher. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we come tonight asking you to fill us all with your spirit. Thank you for every person that's here. Pray that you would help us all, that we would hear and understand, believe and obey thy holy word. Lord, we pray that you would bless all those that are sick and afflicted. We pray especially that you would bless those who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort their hearts. Bless the family of Sister Gaynell Smoke and all the others who have lost loved ones. Lord, be with them. And we ask you to bless those that are sick and afflicted. We pray that you would bless Brother J.W. in a very special way. You would be with him, and pray that you would bless all of his family. Give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And bless all the others, Lord, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional problems. We ask you to bless all of your children, especially the household of faith to which we belong. Yes. Pray again now that you would bless those with chronic problems, those that need prayer in a very special way every day. Be with them and help us to never be negligent to pray for them. Again, now bless those that have children. Bless them to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pray that you would bless those children to honor their parents, and above all to honor Thee. Guide and direct our footsteps. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in Thy sight. Help us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name. And Lord, again, we pray Thy blessings upon those that are with child. We pray that You would bless them and bring forth a good, healthy baby in every situation. And bless the parents then to bring up their child in the right way. Bless us now. You know the needs of every person here. You know the needs of every individual and every family that's represented. We pray that You would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Help us now as we try to study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, the burden that's on my heart is where Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." I want you to always remember that the only one who has the power to give life is God. There was nobody else there that could raise Lazarus from the dead. Even when individuals have been given power to raise people from the dead, those individuals that had that power, it was given to them for a purpose, and they could not do it except when God was just working through them to raise them from the dead. The main thing I want you to remember is not only that you and I do not have the power to give life to those who are dead, whether it's physically or spiritually, when there are those that are dead in trespasses and sins, tell me what you can do to get them born again. What do you do to cause somebody that's dead, what do you do to cause them to be born again? You can do absolutely nothing. But now, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, I want you to look at this carefully now. After Jesus had said, "Lazarus, come forth," I want you to notice verse 44. The Word of God says, "And he that was dead came forth," and notice the wording now, "bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." You follow the wording now. Was there, after Lazarus was given life, was there then something the people could do? He said to the people now, "Loose him and let him go." And I want us to think about all the different ways. We won't get to all the different ways, but I want us to think about the fact that after God has quickened someone, after someone is born again, after they are born of the Spirit of God, did you know that they're still bound up in grave clothes? And they need people to loose them and let them go. You remember any time earlier in the Word of God where God ever sent someone to say, "Let my people go, that they may," what?
Serve me.
That's what God told Moses, to go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." And brethren, I want us to understand tonight that God has given us, by His grace and His power, God has given us the ability and the responsibility to try to work with people who have been born of the Spirit of God, but they're bound up in all kinds of chains and ropes and grave clothes. They're still bound up in many ways. They're still connected in many ways to the grave, and without help, they'll never be able to enjoy the blessings that God has for us in this world. How many people have you ever gone to and by the grace of God loosed them from their grave clothes and let them go? What are the different ways that we can go to people who are bound up? For example, there was someone that asked us to pray tonight for God to help her, to help another woman who was addicted to drugs or alcohol. And as she has this addiction, she needs help. Now, it's not my interest to find out for sure whether or not she's been born of the Spirit of God. That's not the point. The point is, this sister in the church feels led to try to help loose her from the bondage that other woman is in. Now, that's a valid prayer request for us to pray that God will help Sister Michelle to go to this other sister and loose her and let her go. Now, that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are there some people that are tied up to such a degree that it's almost impossible? Are there people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and other kinds of sin that's wrapped around them, and Satan has them so bound up that it's almost impossible to loose them from the bondage that they're in? Is that true? But I would also say in the very same breath that with God, all things are possible. And it does not matter how much bondage a person is in. It doesn't matter how strong those chains are around that person. It doesn't matter how much sin has wrapped around that person's life. I believe with all of my heart that we, as the people of God, we need to be trying to loose them and let them go so they can experience some of the great joys that we do in our lives. I want you to go back in your Bibles right now to Isaiah chapter 61. And I want you to notice that without the Spirit of God, you cannot loose anybody from the bondage that they're in. Does everybody understand that? If you ever try to untie somebody that's tangled up in sin, you're going to get hurt. Did you know that? Have you ever tried to help somebody that had sin in their life and you got hurt? Have you ever tried to go to somebody that was, they were alive now, they may have been born of the Spirit of God, but they still had sin in their life, and you've gone to them to try to help them, and what happens often? Instead of you helping them, you end up getting hurt yourself, and you're not helping them at all. What does it take to be able to help somebody that is bound up in those, what kind of clothes was it that Lazarus was bound up in? Grave clothes. And whenever a child of God is still wrapped up in that sin, though Lazarus was up out of the grave, he was still wrapped up in those grave clothes. And brethren, the stink of sin is something that we can't begin to comprehend how much sin is detested by God. And the people of God ought to also detest sin. And when you see somebody that's wrapped up in those grave clothes, if you love your brother as you ought to, you're going to try to release him, to loose him, and what? Let him go. Let him go. Help him get away from the bondage. Help him get away from the snare of Satan that he's in. And sometimes we have to go to other people and say, I need your help. In fact, was there one person that loosed this man and let him go? Or was there probably several people that worked together to loose him and let him go? Which one do you think it is?
Several.
I think it was several. I want you to notice the wording. We're going to go right here to Isaiah 61. But the Word of God says, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto... what's the next word? Them. Loose him and let him go. Have you ever seen a dog that was tangled up or tied up, or any kind of wild animal that was tied up or tangled up, and you wanted to try to let them go? Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? Let's suppose that a dog is tangled up and you're trying to let him go. What do you need sometimes? You need somebody else to help you, to help subdue the dog. And you can't do it by yourself sometimes. You need somebody else to help you subdue the animal while you work to try to get him loose. And brethren, I believe with all of my heart that we need to be very careful about going to someone to try to loose them and let them go. I think that we need to understand there is great danger, that you are putting yourself in great danger sometimes when you try to loose someone and let them go by yourself, because you can end up being destroyed yourself. So we need to pray that God will give us wisdom to know whether to do it ourselves or whether to take several with us. But the point is, in this situation, that Jesus told several people, go loose him and let him go. The Bible says, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And I think sometimes we might need wisdom from other people as we try to loose someone from the bondage they're in. and pray. Now let's pray together and let's work together and let's labor together. Let's do everything we can to loose him and let him go. Look now at Isaiah chapter 61. Please notice in your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 61, listen to verse 1. The Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Now listen to the next two expressions. He sent to do four things. The third thing is to proclaim liberty to the captives. What's he saying there? I'm there to proclaim liberty to the what? Yeah. To the captives. Do you see there that this is could be connected back with where Jesus told the people, "Loose him and let him go," to proclaim liberty to the captives. Did you know that there are many times that the people of God have been released, they've been loosed, and yet they still think they're bound up in that sin? Did you know that? There are people that have been released from addictions, that God has released them from those addictions, and yet they still think they have to go back to it. And they don't need that anymore. They're not bound to it anymore. They just intentionally go back anyway. Loose them and let them go. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And what's the last thing he says in that verse? Not only to proclaim liberty to the captives, but he says, "And the opening of the prison to them that are bound." We need to pray that God will help us to, when God has called somebody to be born of the Spirit of God and there are those that are still bound in those grave clothes, we need to pray God will help us to loose them and let them go. Now, I want us to just think for a minute. I want you to tell me some specific kinds of things that people can be bound up in that we might need to go to them and work with them to try to loose them and let them go. Tell me any particular kinds of sins that you think people might be bound up in and that you feel like that you could go and do something that would help loose them and let them go. Can you think of anything in particular? Okay. All right. We mentioned addictions, whether it's to drugs or alcohol. We can do things. Are there things you can do to help people that are addicted to those kinds of things? Doesn't matter what addiction it is. There are things that you can do to help loose them and let them go. But sometimes it takes a lot of work and labor to help them in those situations. But sometimes it takes night and day to help them get loose and let go. I want you to back up just a minute. I want you to look in the book of Psalms. Back up to Psalm 73. This is something that's easier. Sister Jane went to something that's very hard. But I want you to back up to something I think, well, it may be just as hard. It doesn't matter what sin it is that we're bound up in. What's easy for me to get out of might be hard for you to get out of, and vice versa. There are some things that are problems in my life that you have no problem getting out of, and there are things that I have difficulty with and you have difficulty with that someone else can help us and loose us and let us go. Look at Psalm 73. Look please at verse 6. Psalm 73, we're trying to look at the fact that God is the one who gives life. And even after God quickens someone and they're born of the Spirit of God, many times they're still wrapped up in grave clothes. They're still chained with the sins of this world. In Psalm 73 in verse 6, the Word of God says, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain." Now do you see the picture that he's painting here? You see the word picture that he gives. He says, "Pride compasseth them about as a chain." What kind of picture do you get there? I think about that Gadarene over there in the New Testament where, you remember how they tried to bind him with chains? They put chains all around him and he just busted out of those chains. Well, listen, brethren, pride can compass us about like a chain. Did you know children of God who have been born of the Spirit of God can still be all wrapped up in the grave clothes of pride? Why would you call pride grave clothes? I would call pride grave clothes because the Word of God says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Have you ever known anybody that had trouble with pride? You ever known anybody that had trouble with pride? Did you know most of us have trouble with pride?
Amen.
Now, pride may only have one cord around you, and it may have three cords around somebody else, and it may have 10 cords around somebody else, but I think every one of us has this problem to deal with. I just had this thought. Who was, wasn't it Samson that Delilah deceived? You remember how she wrapped those cords round about him? You remember what he did? He broke them sometimes. But then he reached that point he couldn't break them, didn't he? And the longer that you dilly-dally around with sin, you might think, well, I can handle this problem. I can handle this sin. I've busted loose from this before. I'll let it tie me up a little bit this time, but I can go for it next time, and I can whip it next time just like I've whipped it the previous time. As long as you begin to dilly-dally around and play with sin and let yourself get wrapped up, I don't care if it's one cord or three cords, did you know that God will not always give you the power to get loose from those sins if you keep going back to them? You keep going back, you're going to end up just like Samson did, where he rose up as he had at other times and thought that he had the power to bust loose again. And the Scripture says he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And when he rose up, he could not get loose. Do you remember that? He couldn't get loose. Have you ever been there where you couldn't get loose? Are there people right now that can't get loose because they're so entangled in sin? Pride is one of those things that compasses us about like a chain. And you know what it'll do to us? Let me ask you this. Is there something that you can do if you see somebody that they're compassed about with the chain of pride? Is there something that you can do to go try to loose them and let them go? Is there something you can do? Brother Richard, what would you do? What would you do? Or anybody, think. Just think. What would you do if you knew somebody, we're just taking this one example, but if you knew somebody that was compassed about with this chain of pride, what could you do to try to loose him and let him go? What's the first thing that has to be done? The first thing that has to be done is he needs to know there's a chain around him. Many times I think that God's people know something's wrong, but they don't know what's wrong in their life. That may seem like a foolish statement, but I believe there are many children of God that because of their ignorance, they don't know what's wrong in their lives. So you have to sometimes help people identify the sin that's in their own lives. Isn't that true? Is it easier, I ask you this question, is it easier for me to see sin in your life, or is it easier for me to see sin in my life? Which one is easier? It's much easier to see the sin in other people's lives. Much easier. It's very difficult to see what chains have us wrapped about. In fact, many times people that are, you know, you remember what the people said, or Martha, Mary, one of the sisters said about Lazarus whenever Jesus told him to roll away the stone. You remember what one of the sisters said? By now he what?
Stinketh.
Have you ever seen anybody that was so wrapped up in the grave clothes of sin, they stinked? You know, I had this thought during the afternoon. How many of you remember old folks saying, he's just a stinker? Now, what did they mean? Sister Jane, you and I are same age, basically. Sister Jane Bacon, what did they mean when somebody was a stinker? Okay, he's just a rotten fella. He's just not living right. He's just a real stinker. He's doing things that are wrong. But you know why that is? I think it probably came from this passage in John chapter 11 where a preacher was preaching about people that were wrapped up in their grave clothes and they were stinking. And yet somebody had enough love and compassion for them that in spite of the fact that they were stinkers, they still went to them, loosed them, and let them go. Isn't that a tremendous amount of love that somebody will go to somebody else and try to loose them and let them go? These people that went to Lazarus, they loosed him and let him go. Someone that has pride, can you go to them and try to talk to them and try to loose them and let them go? Name another sin that you can think about that you might go to somebody and you know that they're wrapped up in this sin, but and we've already mentioned addiction, so don't go there again, but let's think of any other kind of sin besides pride and addictions that people might be wrapped up in those grave clothes and they need to be loosed and let go.
Adultery.
Okay, adultery. Adultery is certainly a problem, and let me tell you something, brethren. If you know a brother or sister in Christ that's wrapped up in those great, is that a stinker? Is that a stinker if they're committing adultery? That's a real stinker. And they're wrapped up in, and bound up in that sin of adultery. What do you need to do? You need to try to talk to them, communicate with them. You may not be able to go talk with them literally because I know many times in my life I haven't been able to talk to somebody because they refuse to see me or talk to me. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can write them a letter in love, and you can tell them exactly ways that they can get out of that mess and warn them of the consequences if they remain a stinker. Isn't that true? Can't all of you do that? There are a lot of things we can do to help loose people and let them go. Can you think of anything else? Let me go ahead, Brother Caleb. Lying, okay? Are there some times that people have a problem with lying? What can you do to help them? Well, you might go to them personally and talk to them about lying. You might try to talk to others and get them to help pray with you. But what's the point? Did it take several people to get Lazarus out of those grave clothes? Or did it take several people there? Are there times that it takes several people working together to loose people of whatever bondage that someone else is in? Say it again. Okay, there you are. You had four men that lifted up that lame man and carried him down through the roof. They got him to Jesus. They loved him enough to loose him. What did they loose him from? They loosed him from not being able to walk. He was bound up physically in lameness, and he was loosed and let go. I want you to go with me very quickly to... I want you to go, first of all, to the book of Acts. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. I want you to look at two or three things here in the book of Acts. Can God's children be bound up in ignorance? Is that another thing that God's children can be bound up in? Now, I'm not talking about dumb people. I'm not talking about people that don't have a formal education. I'm talking about people, they may have a doctorate degree, but they're in ignorance when it comes to the Word of God. Are there people that do not know the truth of God's Word? Are there people that don't know as much of the truth of God's Word as you know? Now, nobody knows all the truth, but whatever truth you know, if you know a brother or sister in Christ that's in bondage to false doctrines or false beliefs or false practices, what do you need to do? You need to go do what? Get them born again? No, you can't do that, but what can you do? You can loose them from those bondages of ignorance. You remember in Acts chapter 8. Let's go there first. Now, I want you to just quickly notice we're going to cover three chapters. We're going to cover three chapters in 3 minutes right here. Look carefully. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, God told Philip to go and preach to the eunuch. Now, was the eunuch while he was sitting there in his chariot, was he in bondage? Was he in bondage? What kind of bondage was he in? He could not understand the Word of God. He was sitting there reading the Word of God. Had he already been born again? Had Jesus already quickened him and made him alive? Yes. He was reading the Word of God, and as he read the Word of God, and Philip came to him, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" What did the eunuch say? "How can I except some man guide me?" What was he saying? He's saying, "I'm bound up in ignorance. I don't understand what these scriptures are talking about. I don't understand whether Isaiah is talking about himself or someone else. I need somebody to loose me from this ignorance and bondage that I'm in, to loose these scriptures, open up these scriptures so I can understand it." And did you know the Word of God says that Philip began right there to preach Jesus unto him? And you know what the man did? You know what the eunuch did? The scripture says he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. You know why? Because Philip obeyed God and went to the eunuch and loosed him and let him go. Do you see that in Acts 8? All right, in Acts 9, what's Acts 9 about? Acts 9 is about God sending, I'm going to skip on down to the middle of Acts 9, where in Acts 9 verse 11, Jesus told Ananias to go to whom?
Saul.
Saul of Tarsus. Well, Saul of Tarsus, was he born again already? Was he alive? He was already alive, but what was his problem? He was still in grave clothes. Was he still a stinker? He was still a stinker. But do you know what happened? Ananias went to Saul of Tarsus and loosed him and let him go. Now I'll tell you, when he loosed him and let him go under the direction and the authority of God, the Apostle Paul began to preach the Word of God. You know what happened before? No, listen. You know what happened between the work of Jesus in quickening Saul of Tarsus and Ananias? No, and Paul preaching the gospel? What happened between Jesus quickening Saul of Tarsus and Paul preaching the gospel?
Ananias
unwrapped him. Did everybody follow that? He loosed him, let him go. Acts chapter 10. What happens in Acts chapter 10? What happens in Acts chapter 10? Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Do you see the picture here? Just Acts 8, 9, and 10. Priest and I were studying together this afternoon, and she just kind of helped me along here. And Acts 8, 9, and 10. Every chapter, you know what you see? You see men going to other men, loosing them and letting them go. Philip went to the house of Cornelius. Was he already born again when Peter got there? He was already born of the Spirit of God. He was a man that feared God, shunned evil. He was a man that was giving alms. He was a man that prayed to God always. He was an humble man. And yet he needed to be unwrapped. He needed to be loosed and let go. And Philip went and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And he was loosed and let go. And Cornelius and all of his household were baptized and became Christians that day. Let me go to one other scripture in closing. Turn in your Bibles, and we'll close right here in 2 Timothy. Look in your Bibles, please, at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But I want you to look at the scripture here because it's very important. Most of you know I'm a trapper. I caught a mean coyote this past Monday. A mean coyote. Meanest and biggest coyote I think I've ever caught. Now, there are tools and instruments that you use when you're going to take an animal that's caught in a trap. There are tools and instruments that you use to help you release that animal from the trap. Isn't that right, Brother Richard? You don't just go up there, unless you're very foolish. If there's a mean coyote in a trap, or a fox or a bobcat, you don't go up there and just reach down and start releasing the trap to let him go. There are a lot of steps that you go through. You need to calm him down, first of all. Just go up there and talk quietly to him. And he'll begin to calm down instead of jumping all around. You talk to him, and then there's a tool that you put on him and hold him still. And what I like to do is take Brother Carthel with me to get Brother Carthel to let the bobcat out of the trap. I carried him with me one time, and he said, "I'm going to hold the choke stick, and you let go the, you get down there and let his foot go." The bobcat, the big bobcat. But the point is, I prefer to have two or three people with me when I go to let an animal out of a trap. Why? Because the more people you have with you, the less likely you are to get hurt. You get clawed. You get hurt. Now, I want you to watch the wording here. Did you know the devil is a trapper? Did you know the devil is a trapper? Look now at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to verse 25. The scripture says, "In meekness..." Now what is that? Here's the animal now caught in the trap. What do you do when you go up to the trap? Do you blow your horn and go running up to the animal? No. You very quietly, you cut the motor off, you ease up, and you talk very gently, very quietly too. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." You know what the animal's doing? Do you know what the people of God are doing when they're wrapped up in those grave clothes? They're opposing themselves. They're fighting. But they're not making any headway toward getting out of those grave clothes. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." If I was wrapped up, let me give you another example, suppose that I've just been in a bad wreck and there are electric wires all around me. I've run into a telephone pole and there are electric wires all around my car. What are you going to say, Brother Richard, if I say, and you come up behind the wreck, and I'm, or Brother James, you're a record driver. What are you going to say? And I start to get out of the car. What are you going to tell me?
Stay where you're at.
Stay where I'm at. Now, what's he doing? In meekness, what's he doing? Instructing those who, and my thought is, get out. And unless I believe him, and unless I listen to him, I can die. Even though I live through the wreck, I can get killed trying to escape. And you can choke yourself to death trying to get away from the grave clothes. You need to listen to somebody that's got some spiritual understanding and meekness trying to instruct you. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the what? Out of the snare. You know what one of the traps is that I use? It's a snare. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Have you ever been snared by the devil? Has he ever caught you? Do you have any chains around you tonight? Sometimes you need to do like the scripture tells us, I think in 1 John. Sometimes you need to call the elders of the church and say, I need your help to get out of these chains. Sometimes you need to call some brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I know that I'm born again, but I'm so wrapped up in sin, I don't know what to do. I need your help. I need guidance. I need instruction. And I pray that God will help every one of us to begin to have more and more wisdom so that we can instruct those that oppose themselves and loose people and let them go, is my prayer for Christ's sake.